Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Definitely.
All right, thanks. Welcome back to One Guy with a Mic, Dingers and Dunks. As you all know, we are doing the MLB season preview this week, or this episode, I should say, because there's two episodes out this week. This first one is the AL East, and I brought my brothers from another mother, the Dro Bros, Mike Drogalis and Salvatore, Sal Drogalis as well, to come on here and give me the lowdown of the AL East. A couple East Coast boys living in the area. Sal lives in Texas now, but still has his heart in Connecticut, so it's all good. And so they have taken their fun time out of their day to come hop on here and badmouth the Red Sox with me. So, and welcome. Good morning, boys.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
All right. How you guys doing today?
Happy to be here.
Thanks for getting up early with me. All right. We are going to jump right into this. Waste no time about it. As always, my stats come from baseballperspective.com. They are usually right on their lineups, wrong on their wins. So that's what we're going to go with. I hope we can agree on this last place team. Two other podcasts, we have not agreed on the last place team, but I'm going with the Boston Red Sox as the last place team.
This Sal? Is why we're friends. Sorry.
You mean the Red Sox? No way.
Of course.
Of course. Mike? Yep, you agree?
There's rumors that they're connecting with Montgomery. If then, congratulations on fourth place. But
no, they're still going fifth.
I'm the neutral Yankee fan here, Sal.
You're the neutral.
Sure you are. See Mike at a live Yankee game, you'll change your mind on that.
I might have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, I have the projected starting pitching lineup of Lucas Giolito, Brian Bello, Nick Pavetta, Cutter Crawford, Tanner Houck. All right, that's what their projected top five are.
Well, Giolito's out for the year, though, right?
Is he?
Didn't he blow his arm out, his elbow?
I don't know if they confirmed TJ.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if he's not pitching, then they go Cooper Criswell as the next starter.
Yeah.
If they do go with Cooper, that just confirms every single member of their starting rotation has the first name of a kid who misbehaves at daycare. I'm not intimidated at all, unless I was like 6 years old, then I know I'm losing my lunch money. Otherwise, so we're going to be fine.
That's facts. I mean, they do have Kenley Jansen in the bullpen, but how many saves is he actually going to get?
He needs the opportunities to actually get there, so we'll see.
I do. Here's my thought on that, because when you look at guys like K-Rod in the past who racked up like 57 saves, like whatever, it ends up sometimes they get plenty of opportunities with plenty of rest in between, because the Red Sox might win like a game here and there,
right,
and then they go on a week-long bender and just get bent over, so to speak. So, like, it might end up like every three or four games, they might compete enough that he can get into a ball game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're winning 110 games, how often can you get that closer out there when you're on a constant, like, two or three win streak here and there?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you're constantly winning, I get that.
Well, that's true, too, because they're not blowing out any teams. So they're going to be close most games when they are in the lead. So that's a good point.
Yeah. If Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford have the same ERA as last year, it's going to be a real bloodbath. They were good in spurts, because I picked them up a couple weeks in fantasy, but they were good in spurts. Nick Pivetta was their best pitcher, and he was actually started off as a closer last year, and they moved into the rotation. And I think Bello's going to improve this year. I just don't think it's going to be a lot.
It might not be a huge step forward. I do think Pivetta, I think I saw some clips of him going to Driveline, getting his velo up. If that is the case, he might become like the anchor of the rotation this year, especially while Bello's getting his footing down. I think Bello's going to be really good, but
yeah, I think Bello has, I definitely think Bello's be really good as well. Their projected lineup is Connor Wang at catcher, Tristan Casas at first. They're doing Vaughn Grissom at second. They're putting Trevor Story back over at short. They got Devers at third. And then out in their outfield, they got Tyler O'Neill. Then they got Sedan, Kaden, Rafaela, and Jerron Duran out in right. And their DH is going to be Yoshida. I mean, it's a young lineup.
Yeah, it is a young lineup. Definitely got some power there, though. I mean, Devers, I think he's going to be solid as usual. He's the, you know, he's the leader right now, obviously, yeah, with that team. Yoshida had a really – was it last year's rookie year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he had a really slow start, and then he caught fire. So if he can continue that, he'll be all right. I mean, Story's going to be healthy, hopefully, and then you'll see some good numbers from him, I think. Nothing crazy, but he's not playing, you know, in Coors anymore.
Which, but that's been proven last year that it's not core stats.
Exactly. So, I mean, they don't have a terrible lineup. I mean, O'Neill's going to provide a lot of power, but he's very streaky. Mm-hmm. He'll go on a tear and then he'll be gone. He might be hurt. Who knows? But you got some young guys that if they can step up, they can provide, fill in those holes in the lineup, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah. Mike?
Yeah. The only, if there is a good takeaway from Gerrit Cole being hurt, is Rafael Devers is going to get hit. Whatever projection you have for home runs, take away five. Take away five right off the bat. That's a good part of it. Then again, I don't think we face them until like June anyway. The way they've been spacing out the schedule is weird, because now with the divisional realignment of the schedule, you got to play everyone at least three times. Yeah. So there's no more like 19 games against your division rivals. I think it's like 10 or 12 or something like that.
I think it's 12, yeah.
I think it's an odd number to allow like a tiebreaker situation if there's a fight for the division. But their lineup is solid. It's definitely not the best in baseball, but Devers right in the middle of it is always problematic. Duran, if he just gets on base at a good clip, he has pop, he has speed. Tristan Casas was one of the better hitters in baseball last year down the stretch. I want to say since like, I think around June or July, he was really heating up. I hate to say this. Just let me know when we're done with the Red Sox. I want to stop giving them any credit whatsoever. And I thought Yoshida was going to be better than he was last year, too. Granted, he's at a DH. He's not going to rack up a lot of good analytical numbers when you're looking at F4 and stuff like that. But he has a beautiful swing, and it should start playing well for him. He should be doing a little better this year. Story and O'Neill, it's just health to me.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have the Story doesn't have the arm anymore, but he should be able to get hit a couple of bombs, still has some speed. O'Neill just got to be healthy. I think he can put it together. I think 21 was when he broke out with the Cardinals?
Yep.
Yeah, so the potential's there.
Maybe have a bounce back year like Bellinger last year?
There's always a team in the AL East that is really pesky and annoying. It used to be the Orioles while they were tanking. Like, they would still give the Yankees a hard time. They used to hit CeCe. They hit Cole. Like, so now that they're good, the Red Sox are the bottom feeding team that still gives you fits.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they are the bottom feeding team, but at the same time, you put them in any other division, they're not last place.
Correct. Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. They are projected to get 79 wins and 83 losses this year. So I think that's a solid number, because I think that the AL East is one of the strongest divisions in baseball. If you put them in the NL Central, they're battling for first place.
Like, yeah. I mean, exactly. It's just a matter of who they're playing against. And they happen to be going against, you know, strong lineups and strong rotations.
Juggernauts. So,
yeah.
All right. What's your guys' projections on wins? I'm going to say it's under 79, so I'm going to go 76.
Yep. I'm right there with you. I put 75.
Okay.
I put 75.
Yeah, so hey, we finally agreed. We're on the podcast. One off from each other. Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Yeah, this is wild here.
It's the OCD. I go intervals of five.
Right. Next up, I got the Orioles. I got them finishing fourth, but that doesn't mean they're not going to make the playoffs. Their starting lineup is going to be, or their starting pitchers are, they got Corbin Burns, they got Kyle Bradish, Dean Kramer, Grayson Rodriguez, John Means as well. They got Tyler Wells. He did all right. And they got Cole Irvin. So I feel like their top seven pitchers are definitely, they're deep there and they can provide innings. And then you go to their closer. I mean, who's their closer starting off the year because Bautista's out?
I think it's Kimbrel.
It's going to be Kimbrel and Cano probably stepping in too.
Yeah, it'll be Kimbrel, Cano, and then they got Danny Colom closing out a couple of games too. So, again, you got a lot of guys that are eating up innings. And that middle, that the middle relief with Tate and John Heasley and Brian Baker, like, that's pretty dangerous. Plus, they can still throw out Keegan Aiken and Bruce Zimmerman at you to eat up innings. Like, I feel like the Orioles are just deep.
Yeah, they definitely. Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're very deep. I think the addition of Corbin Burns is huge. They have a true ace.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, behind him, it would be who? Grayson Rodriguez, right?
Right.
But he's Bradish not proven.
Too, but he's.
Well, Bradish, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's still out. But at this moment, you have a bona fide star in Burns. You right. have Bautista out, but you still have guys that can close games to bring in Kimbrel. That's huge. So they kind of clogged those holes that they didn't really exactly have or that they lost. And then you look at that lineup, and you got Mullins leading off, most likely. And then you got Adley, Gunner, Santander. You got Mountcastle, Jackson Holliday. Is he making – I think he's going to make the lineup, right?
He's crushing the ball. He's got nothing
he's killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to wait for with him? You know, he's coming up, and he's as sure as a thing as you could probably get. You know, and you know, Austin Hayes, they got a bunch of guys on that roster, and they're all young, and they're all ready to repeat what they did last year. I read something that even – what's his name? Cal Ripken never even got 100 wins one year
right.
with the Orioles, and they did that last year, and they look even better. I personally don't know if they're going to hit 100 wins, but they're definitely going to do well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to be good. They're going to be good, but a lot of people are just seeing 101 wins plus Corbin Burns plus Jackson Holliday. Like, that's too optimistic. I understand the optimism from a team that, to be honest, tanked for, what, 6 to 10 years?
Yeah.
So I understand there's a lot of optimism, and naturally, like, okay, well, they're going to get better. They get young guys getting better. They don't account for guys maybe with a sophomore slump or hitting a wall. Who knows if Holiday's going to be good off the jump. Bradish, even if he was healthy and pitched – you know, started 32 games, 33 games. His expected ERA was maybe a full run higher than what he actually did. And the Orioles were very good. Like, what you said about them being in fourth is a very hot take in a sense, but at the same time, like, I don't think they're going to be in fourth place. But when you look at what they were expected to do, they went over every projection for almost every single player. That's usually what you get from a team going on a miracle run to the World Series. Like,
yeah,
it's very impressive what they did. There's no hate on them because the Yankees underperformed in every aspect whatsoever. Even if the Yankees went to their expectations and the Orioles played to their expectations, the Orioles were still probably a couple of heads above the Yankees. And they're still a good baseball team. Corbin Burns, the fact that you might lose Bradish for a little bit helps a lot. Who knows if Rodriguez still figures it out? When part of it is command, you don't know when they're going to get a handle of that. Sometimes these guys need another pitch. Like, sometimes it's just a guy looking for a third offering to become that nasty guy. Like, he's got stuff. If he can get the command, he'll be there. If not, look what Severino did a year ago, throwing 99 miles an hour. He was one of the worst starters in the AL. Obviously, different situations, but still, command is a problem.
Right.
Agreed.
And losing Bautista is a huge blow. You're getting Kimbrel, but once again, Bautista was someone who went way above what they were expecting to do. So, Kimbrel's filling the hole, in a sense, but is he going to do what he did? It's almost impossible. what Yennier Cano did in the first half. He didn't give up a run for like 2-3 months.
Right.
It was somewhat of a regression, but now what is he going to do? Like, he was out of organized baseball a couple years ago. It's a great story, but then from the sense of what's he going to do this year, you really don't know. Bullpens are almost always a mystery. It's so volatile.
Yeah.
And well, they have so many names to plug in because they have an incredible farm system.
Right.
But now you have all these prospects at the cusp fighting for the same spots because not all these guys are making the opening day roster. So now you go, are they just going to sit as AAA fodder to continue boasting about the farm system? Or do they start moving some guys to plug other holes?
Right.
Good point.
You know,
yeah, I think that's one thing. If the Orioles, I don't think they're winning 100 games this year, even with adding Burns, because there's going to be some regression. It's kind of like in football. You always regress back to the mean, no matter what. You always regress back to the average. So if you overachieved last year, you're going to regress this year. It's just natural in sports, because guys are going to have, you're going to have one more year of, you're going to have full offseason of basically being able to see tendencies between pitchers and also hitters. So you get to study the tape, and then you also, that's going to help you out. There's always that. There's always that huge bump of switching leagues as a pitcher too. Like, you go from the AL to the NL or vice versa. The pitcher always has a good bump to start with, but then the hitters start to figure them out, and then they start coming down. Corbin Burns did not start off hot last year. He finished really strong for the Brewers, but he didn't start off well.
Right, that's true.
And so he's going to have to carry that over. Now you're on a new team, new teammates. You're also on new league, new division. Obviously, you're still playing everybody in the league, which I like. I like that aspect. It shows you who's really good at baseball and who just gets their numbers pumped up because they play their division every most of the year, you know. So
right,
I just think like they're going to come back down to the mean. Now, the AL East is so strong, I have them in fourth just for that fact. Like, I feel like if you look at any other lineup in the AL East, it's stronger because it's not as many young guys that you're trying to rely on. I feel like trying to rely on young guys is kind of like the 2015-2016 Cubs. You're relying on five young guys. Well, I mean, these guys are relying on who? They got Holliday's young, Henderson's young. Rushman's been in the league for a little bit. So, I mean, they have some older guys here. I mean, Cedric Mullins is your oldest player on the team, though, at what, 33? And the rest of them are all under 26, 27, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of risk.
Okay, so Mullins is 28. Let's see the oldest.
I think he's younger, yeah.
Oh, Frazier is their oldest guy, but that's not like one of the biggest assets. He had a 94 OPS plus last year.
Yeah. So again, young team, and I think with being that young of a team, I thought Mullins was way older than that. He seems like he's been in the league forever.
Right,
he's been for a bit, yeah, but yeah, true.
I mean, because he became their center fielder after Adam Jones, right? Like,
more or less. If he,
yeah,
it's really whether he goes back to what he did in 2021, because the last 2 years he's been much closer to the league average.
Yeah,
and like, once again, you wonder if they're going to be due for regression to the means, even though, like, you had him last year about league average. Santander was pretty solid.
Yeah.
But doesn't provide much defensively. He's going to be maybe more the DH. Right. Ryan O'Hearn came back and had a nice year. But you're like, okay, is he still going to be, like, doing that again? You know, there's a lot of question marks around the veterans who have the presence in the lineup. They do have incredible chemistry. I think if anything happens, it will be because the chemistry of these guys will be good for the young guys, because they also have all these young guys coming up at the same time. Like, usually, like, they all played in single A, double A, triple A. So they're all going to be on the same team together, which could be a big boost for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then you wonder, like, Adley has superstar written all over him. He was really good offensively last year. He's one of the best defensive catchers in the game, and he's only 25 years old right now. So it's just a matter of, is he going to handle playing 154 games again over and over and over again? Are they going to try and rest him a little more? It depends on whether they have that depth to carry the load.
Yeah.
They have him play first base a little bit last year too, I think, or DHing. Yeah, and keep his bat in the lineup.
Yeah, and I think that helps a lot as a catcher, is being able to play those two other positions, being able to DH, being also able to play first base. That helps out a lot.
I forget. He didn't play first, but he did DH 46 times last year, which I think is a smart idea, because that extra 20, 30 games on his knees is going to break him down years early. So they are smart in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're investing in the young player. You got to make sure he's there for the long term, because guys aren't lasting like they used to. You know, you see a lot of players playing in their 40s, you know, or close to 40s. Now you're seeing guys retiring at like 35. You know,
I think part of that is with the what's the word? The PED they banned. It's not like a steroid, it's amphetamines. Well,
right. I agree with that too, but you're also seeing more budding stars at a younger age entering the league, rather than, you know, what they did with like these players where you have Bryant come in, you know, Chris Bryant, and they try to manipulate the service time. They're not doing that as often now.
And that's what I was going to say. Maybe the Orioles will do that with Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, maybe. We'll find out.
I mean, but then again, that's why the Cubs lost Bryant, is because he was pissed off about that. He even sued the Cubs over that as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that was really low of them to do to their prodigy. And
then they let him go. So, whatever.
Yeah.
But they traded him at the deadline, right?
No.
The Giants?
No. They traded him to the Giants on the deadline, yes.
Yes. Yep.
That's when they moved him. They moved Rizzo. They were like, they moved Javi. They're like, okay, screw it.
Yep. And the only two that were, and the only one that was left was Contreras. And then he walked to St. Louis. So,
yeah. After they didn't trade him, you're like, come on.
Yeah, after they didn't. Yeah, because they were trying to re-sign him. And then
pull him out of a game because they were close to a trade?
Yes. They did.
They pulled him out.
Yep. They thought they had a deal done, and so they pulled him out of the game, and then there wasn't a deal done. So then they had to make that up. I'm pretty sure that helped him make his decision as well. On that too. I wish the one guy we really wish they would trade is Kyle Hendricks. So
never.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, it was last year of his deal finally. All right, so back to the Orioles. Baseball Prospectus has them going 86-76. I think that's a little low. I feel like they're not going to win 100, but I feel like they can still win 90.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I had them around like 92, 93.
Yeah.
I have
It's still 95. Very good, especially you consider the division they're playing in.
Right.
Because even the Red Sox, the worst team in the division, is going to put up a fight.
Right.
Oh, and yeah, I think for sure.
It's not the same as winning a World Series, but they weren't taken seriously the last year or so. And now this is when you know you're getting every team's best shot.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a target on their backs for sure now, because they won the best division in baseball. And no one thought they were going to take out the Rays, honestly, with the start they had last year. And they came out of nowhere. We're like, well, hold my beer. I'm taking over.
Yeah. The Rays.
Yeah, they didn't lose for like the first couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
The power of friendship.
Yeah, but I personally think the Orioles get 95 wins. I don't think they're going to hit over 100, even though everybody says it's going to be even better team when you look on paper. But I think there's going to be regression. I don't think it's going to be as much as some people think. one guy. But no, I still think they're going to be a powerhouse. And with the addition of Holiday, then, like Mike said, with the chemistry, that's something that numbers don't really read into, or you can't read like the numbers on that. It just happens. So I think they still have the core. There's going to be regression. They filled the hole with the closer situation with Batista being out. I still think they're deep and they're young. I think they're going to do well.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Cool deal. Well, speaking of the Rays, we're moving right into the Rays.
It's the toughest team to predict.
Right. It is. And
yes.
So the Rays to me are the toughest team to predict because you don't know what their young guys are going to do. Because that's all they are, is just, they're basically a hyped up AAA team, you know. But and I'm not saying they got AAA players. I'm just saying like the age of their players are like guys that should still be in AA or AAA, and they got them on the major league roster and they put them together and it's just like, boom, we're winning 90 games a year. Like, so again, Baseball Prospectus, like the Orioles, the Rays, and the Blue Jays, they're all separated by like two games. is how Baseball Prospectus has them. And I feel like that's legit. Like, I feel like the Orioles at 90 and could go, could get down to 88, 90, 92, 95 wins. Then you got the Rays, who could do anywhere from 88, 90, 95 wins. And then Blue Jays, the same thing. Like, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that those three teams are going to be right three in the middle. The Rays are bringing back, they got Zach Eflin as their starter. They picked up Savali from Cleveland. They got Zach Littrell, Taj Bradley, Ryan Papat, Shane Baz, Jeffrey Springs. And they usually go out there and throw six starters anyways, it seems like.
And then
they have more depth is Drew Rasmussen and Mason Montgomery. Plus, they got Pete Fairbanks as the closer. And I think he's kind
crazy
of
crazy ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a little, underrated as a closer. I think the guy's actually, he's got good stuff.
Agreed.
And he can come in and pitch for you really well. And then you got Phil Maton, Garrett Clevenger, Manuel Rodriguez, all in that middle long relief area as well. So their pitching staff is solid. Then let's go over to their hitters real quick. So you got Rene Pinto, starting most of the time at catcher. Then you got Yandy Diaz, you got Brandon Lowe, you got Junior Caminero, you got at short, you got Jose Caballero. Jeez, I'm gonna murder all these names. It's crazy. they're all interchangeable as well. Like looking at this sheet, like their infielders. None of them, their first and second basemen are the only guys that play over 70% at that spot. The rest of them are like 55% here, 35% here, 25%. So they're basically just mixing and matching that left side. Out in the left field, you got Randy A is what we're going to call him. You got Jose Siri out in center. Out in right, you got Josh Lowe. And then you got DH, you got Harold Ramirez. So their pitching staff's deep, their hitters are young, and they're to jack home runs. Like, get on base, hit a lot of home runs. Basically, Moneyball is what they provide. So, we'll start with Mike on this one. What's your thoughts on the Rays?
So, I went over some of their projections. They have five guys in the lineup projected to have a WRC plus over 100, 100 being the league average. So, they're expecting them to have five hitters above average, which scares me.
Yeah.
Because they always exceed expectations. They're usually bearish on them and then they go and outdo it. So now maybe the analytics and projections are finally starting to favor them or acknowledge them, respect them in a sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case, but whatever projection they get usually, especially on wins, they just chew it up and spit it out. And it's a little concerning because I'm tired of it. Like, I'm tired of the Yankees being outdone by the power of friendship.
Right.
Like, they lost Stevenson, who was elite out of the bullpen, but then they're just going to grow two or three more. I think it's a changeup that they teach every pitcher. They have a team changeup that everyone throws, and it's disgusting.
Although,
I did see Wander Franco has one projected plate appearance. I hope it's him getting hit in the head. I'm not joking. He's projected to have one plate appearance, and dust him off.
Oh, wow.
He's actually projected for one?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Baseball Prospectus actually doesn't even have him in the lineup. So,
yeah, Fangraphs has one plate appearance, but he has a 349 on base percentage.
Yeah. That's what it was. It was Fangraphs.
So they hit him in the head, and then 35% down the line, he gets tackled by security and taken back to prison. That's my prediction. Yandy Diaz. He's projected to have another good year, 21 home runs, 73 RBIs. He's going to get on at a high clip. But then, like, the way he broke out, you're like, is this fool's gold? Is he going to keep doing it? I think the potential is still there. He might be on the lower end of that projection, but then you guys have someone like Randy who's always a problem. But then he was in trade rumors. We thought he was getting moved at one point.
Yeah.
I think he was trolling on social media about it, too.
He was.
He's probably a guy who will exceed expectations. I think especially like, listen, all he has to do is muscle up a few more balls and he could be a 30-30 threat, which is really frustrating because they don't pay these guys to do that. All
right. Right.
Right.
And then like just with pitching, I'm like, you don't even have to give me any names. They're going to have a good staff. They always have a good staff. Like Sal said, they usually have a 6-man rotation. Sometimes they might just throw an opener here to mess with your timing.
Yeah.
They always find a way. And
who's
in a sense,
pitching coach, because he does an awesome job.
God himself.
Like those hands.
It's a fucking voodoo doll. Yeah. That's their pitching coach.
Yeah, they just every year there's like, oh, there's a bunch of new guys. Let's see what they do. Oh, right. And look who's been Cy Young lately. Blake Snell. Where was he from? Tampa. You see all these names get traded and yet they do well. And then they take a guy like Zach Eflin, right? How was he on the Phillies? Do you guys remember?
Not great.
Right. He comes to the Tampa Bay Rays. He might not be pitching in front of a lot of fans, but he's got a good year. He started off great last year. And, you know, they just take something and they take nothing and make it into something. Always.
They make a coal into a diamond all the time.
Exactly.
They go buy briskets and put it in water and boom, they find diamonds all the time. It seems like
geez. Water to a biscuit.
Brisket for nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I can't, I don't have anything to add to what you guys already said about the Rays because they're always there. They're always, they've, ever since 08, they've always been that team. You know, it's one of the few expansion teams that you can look at and say, oh, they actually play baseball well. And you just never, they're always in it. They've never been really out of it.
They're fighters. They're literally fighters. That's just what they are. It's like seeing Jabba with the flies in his face. That's that whole team right there. You know, hitters and pitchers in his face, distracting them. They always find a way. And I actually do have a couple points to make about the Rays that I did not say. Tampa does not have Glass now. Now he was never really there the whole time anyway, with all his injuries, and they still succeeded. So when I see that, people say, "Oh, they lost him." Well, they didn't really have him for a lot of the time he was there either. So I do think that's going to regress a little bit, but not too much. But you also have McClanahan. He's going to be out for a bit. Jeffrey Springs is coming off.
McClanahan's out for the year.
Yeah, he's gone. So
and he was out. Actually the guy that actually held that team together last year, starting wise.
Right. So I think with him being out, that's actually going to be a huge gut punch because he was a big part of that. To replace him, that's going to be tough. Taj Bradley, I don't think we mentioned him either. He's also, I think, hurt. But he's a young guy. He showed a lot of promise early on. Yeah. And then he kind of lost his way a little bit when they sent him back down. But I think he could come back and potentially even fill that ace spot. Just saying. I think I got high hopes for him. He's a big prospect.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. And Shane Boz, we all know he's got the talent too. Whenever he comes back, I think he can also be someone to fill in the top three rotation and fill that out as well. He's another guy that can just plug in and play.
Yeah, exactly. That's really what the Rays got is a bunch of plug and play guys. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like you said, the whole left side of the field, it's all utility players. They're like, oh, this guy's out. All right, you're going to go take his spot. Okay. And they just win games.
Right. So, all right. Well, speaking about winning games, like I said, Baseball Prospectus has them going 87-75. Again, I think they're either an 88-90-92 game win season. Since I do have them finishing just ahead of the Orioles, I'm saying they win 92.
I put them at 84, actually. Okay. I think they're going to regress. I think the whole thing about plugging guys in, they're still going to win games, but being in this division right now, I just think they're going to digress a little bit more this year. I think they're going to go down to 84 though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I put them about 85. I think 85 is the number because like we said, McClanahan is not there. Glasnow's gone, even though he didn't factor much. If you had him in a projected rotation, it would make him a little better. He's got the stuff.
Agreed.
But McClanahan's a big hit. Like, it's just like they're going to find guys to fill certain holes, but how often can you fill the A spot?
Right.
Taj Bradley's going to step it up. If Boz can be healthy and do what he's expected to do, he'll be okay. But like, you're still losing McClanahan.
It's a lot of what ifs, and that's the issue I have. How long can they keep doing this? Right. But they have potential to win over 90 games, I think. But I'm sitting them at 84.
All right. Well, let's move on to number two in the division in my book, the Toronto Blue Jays, and Baseball Perspectives book as well. Toronto Blue Jays, I think they underperformed last year.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was definitely a pitcher that underperformed there. I think it was a guy who accused Gerrit Cole being the biggest cheater of all time.
Yeah.
And then got shelled by literal teenagers in the complex league. Can't remember his name. He's not good enough for me to remember his name.
Well, he's their fifth starter. Because I know his name.
Well, he's his fifth. He's the fifth starter because you can't have seven guys in a rotation.
Oof. So yeah, their projected starting pitchers are Kevin Gausman, Chris Bassett, Jose Barrios, Yusei Kikuchi, and Alec Manoa, the guy that got shelled by minor leaguers, the high school team. God.
If Ethan Salas was on the team, then I'd understand, but not that kind of teenager.
Like
when I say he got beat up, he got hit by teenagers, it wasn't like the best prospects you've ever seen. It's the kids who were hitting blinkers in the school bathroom. Right. And, don't graduate.
Love it. Oh, freaking love it.
I just learned what blinkers are. I'm 34 years old and I don't vape. So once I was educated on the topic, now I can use it.
Now you can
use it. Attaboy.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair, man. They got Romano as the closer, Swanson and Garcia as their setup guys. They got Chad Green, Mizeah, Little Cook, Richards, all there in the middle of the long relief. Starting pitcher's solid, except for that fifth starter. I think he's going to get rocked most of the time because he hasn't proved that he can actually pitch but 1 year.
He won't be there for long.
No, I don't think so. I think he's either released or gone at around the trade deadline. So what's your guys' thought on that starting lineup besides, or that starting pitching staff besides Manoa?
So I can go first. I'm putting something together here.
Yeah. No worries. You play with your Legos. So I think they have a deep rotation, or not deep, but like they have a good rotation. Jose Barrios is going to eat up innings. He's got filthy stuff. I think he'll do well. Bassett is solid. Another guy can eat innings. I think overall they just have good pitching. And as we said, I think they underperformed last year. Alec Manoa not being there definitely hurts them after his first year being solid, or you know, the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
That definitely knocks them down a peg in my book. I think over the course of the whole year, trying to find that guy. But, I think pitching-wise, they'll be okay, but I don't think they're going to be what they were. Now, hitting, they're definitely going to improve. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to go off. He did not have as great of a year as we all expected.
It's not how he's not going to get the video game jinx, is that what you're trying to say? Since he was on the cover of MLB The Show.
He'd go in reverse.
I think he got it last year. So I think this year he'll bounce back. I mean, he's too talented. He finished second MVP to Shohei the year before. And then he has that kind of year. He might have been dealing with an injury or something, you know, not enough to keep him out. Maybe he just wasn't seeing the ball. I don't know. But he's going to bounce back. He's got solid guys around him. They got Justin Turner. They got... we got Springer, Bo Bichette. These guys can all hit. They're all going to protect him, and I think he's going to have a big year. I'm thinking at least 40-plus on homers and lots of RBIs.
Okay.
Mike? Yeah.
Going back to what you were talking about with the when you mentioned Jordan Romano. Oh, man.
Seeing an Aaron Judge home run.
That's what I think of Jordan Romano in the Toronto Blue Jays. That's HD, by the way. I had to look for a 4K clip. All right, now you can shut up. Your purpose is done. Yeah, go back to the hole you came out of. Anyway, the offense is good. Vlad can only, like, he was what, the best? He was probably the highest regarded hitting prospect of all time. It had nothing to do with his dad's name. I think he hit like 400 in the minors.
Yeah.
He had that breakout year.
Yeah.
And kind of teeters back and forth since. At some point, he's going to put it together again. And with more consistency in the lineup, they can do that. Like, Bo took a big step last year. Mm-hmm. Alejandro Kirk has been very surprising out of the catcher spot.
Yep.
If Springer stays healthy, that's also a big thing. What Davis Schneider did last year when he just kind of came up out of nowhere, was hitting bombs left and right.
Yeah.
Even if he's even not in a full-time role, if he can just be another presence in the lineup, adding Justin Turner, I think he's got one more year left in him. Dalton Varshow, which everyone thought was a steal at the time, and now looks like a huge regret after what the Diamondbacks went on that run last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be okay. I think the analytics kind of over-favored him because he was doing that stuff as a catcher. You put him in a corner outfield spot, it's not as impressive.
Right.
You know? Agreed. Like, but he's still a solid hitter, so they're projected to have a very solid lineup. Like, you have Vlad and Bo. Springer's not revered like he once was, but there's not going to be many easy outs. And I was slandering Manoah before, but before he fell off like that, he was one of the better pitchers. He came out of nowhere, put up crazy numbers. So
yeah,
he might not be an ace type again, but with that chip on his shoulder, he should be at least league average. I think he's got that at least. And him being league average right there makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
If he can show up, if he can show up, that might have helped them against the Twins last year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're a harder team to predict than the other ones for me. The other ones are either known commodities or you go, okay, they can't be this good or they can't be this bad.
Right.
Just Manoah is one of the X factors.
I could see that. I can get behind that. So their starting lineup, or yeah, the starting lineup will be Kirk at catcher, Guerrero Jr. at first. They got Schneider projected to split time at second with Espinel. Kevin Biggio as playing everywhere. They got IKF, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa at third base and playing a little bit everywhere. They got Bo Bichette playing short. Varsho out and left. Kramer in center, Springer in right, then Turner at DH. I think they got a lot of people in that lineup to protect Vlad Guerrero, because I think that was also a problem with him. Hey, here's the deal. This is what I feel like. You go from being MVP caliber season the year before, then the expectations are all there, and you got, as a young kid, you got to try to live up to those expectations. And we all see it. You always have that slump after you have a really good year, most times, mm-hmm. unless you're Mike Trout. I mean, but Guerrero is that type of guy, though, to come out and he has more of a controlled strike zone than what his dad did. And again, Vlad Guerrero has done all this basically on his own without even having to use his dad's name to get where he has gotten, because the dude just rakes at the plate.
Yes. If there was no unicorn in the league, he would be an MVP.
Right. Exactly. So then you look at Bichette's taking a step up, Biggio taking steps up. So their young guys are taking those steps up. And that's why I feel like this is going to be the year where they finally get over that hump and they actually can make kind of a run in the playoffs, make some noise in the playoffs, actually get to the playoffs and do something. And I think that they're going to be one of the top teams in the AL East. I really do think that they're going to battle for that 95 win spot. I think it's going to take 97 to 100 wins to win this division. And then you're going to have everybody stacked up within about 12 games each other, except for the Red Sox. That's my projection on the East. I usually get the AL East wrong, though. So
it's hard one to predict.
Because
it's very tough.
I just feel like the AL East is just so powerful that they should just run roughshod over the rest of the league. And then they lose the games to like the Royals, or the A's will obviously get some hits here and there. But it's just like you guys are going to beat each other up and everybody should be about 500 league play wise. But like the rest of the league, y'all should be dominating, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And another thing with the Blue Jays is they made the postseason the last 3 out of 4 years. And being in the AL East, that's solid. You make the playoffs 3 out of 4 years, but they have 0 wins in the postseason.
Correct. So that's why
they don't get a lot of credit for it.
No.
Yeah, because, but they're also not winning in the big spots either.
Right, and that's the thing is, like, they don't get that doesn't come up everywhere because they got knocked down the wild card round. You know?
Yeah.
So that's why that. So projection wise, Baseball Prospectus has them going. I came around this up because it's at 0.5, so the 0.5s you round up or round down. Like, I'll say they have them at 89 and 73. I think they get to 94 wins. With that lineup, I think filling that lineup with more hitters and less power, because I think they were a little bit overpowered because you had Matt Chapman in the lineup at third base last year. And he was just basically a boom or bust type guy. Either he's going to hit it off the wall, hit it over the wall, or strike out.
He cooled off incredibly after the start.
Right. So
he was hot.
Yeah. So they've actually got this lineup more to where it's balanced with you got guys that can come in and hit bombs. You got guys that can actually get on base. And some of those guys are the same dude. So I feel like they're going to be about a 94-1 team.
Okay. Yeah. I got them at 90. I think they're going to be pretty close to what they were. But I think they're going to sit in the same part of the division. Because how many games did they win last year? 89? Something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was
80.
Yeah. But they were, they were right in the middle of it. I think they're going to be in that same spot, still in the middle. It's a tough division. The real question is, I think they're going to make the playoffs. It's just a matter of how far they will go. I think that's the only X factor right there. It's going to change. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say 91 is the number. They are a little better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
Losing Chapman, I'm not going to say IKF will play the same defense, but he was a gold glove third baseman when the Yankees got him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not getting the bat, but Turner can replace some of the offense. He had a good year last year offensively, at least.
Right.
He was better.
He was better. Hurting the Yankees. I know that much, so hate him. Maddie's still in the division. Go back to LA where you belong. But yeah, and like it's also like Kikuchi is a solid back end guy. Like they have a very underrated rotation when you look at Kevin Gausman. Like he put up numbers kind of similar to Cole last year, and the last couple of years he's really been really good, and you never hear him in those top pitcher conversations. So when you have an anchor like that, he's really good. No one gives that any credit. Bassett is I don't know if he's a true number two, but they still have a good altogether rotation. I also wonder if Tiedemann, their prospect, is going to get into the rotation at all this year.
He might.
He might, yeah.
Like he's pretty promising. They didn't want to trade. I think the Padres wanted him in the Juan Soto deal, and they just kind of hung up the moment.
Yeah.
They asked for that, and that's when Cashman was like, okay, well, guess what? But I think 91's the number. They'll still be better than last year.
Right.
Whether that's enough for the playoffs this time with how other divisions develop and whatever, who knows? But I think they're capable of winning 91.
Well,
I agree.
I'll have to say we have not had any other discussions of any other AL division on this podcast yet. So far, we start off with the best. Hey, what are you going to do? All right. Now, the team that I feel like is going to win the division, a team that I feel is going to get about 99 wins, I'm calling it already, a team that's going to come out the gate and just play with a chip on their shoulder, the team with the best number two starter in the entire Major League Baseball, the New York Flippin' Yankees. Da-da-da!
Da-da-da-da!
What's up, brother?
Obviously, Cole's hurt. Obviously missed out on Snell. Missed out on Dylan Cease.
A lot of missing.
I just feel like if Daddy George was around, you would have got both. I just feel like if George is there, if George was here, George would have said, go get it. We lost Cole. Go get me the two best.
I do think we have to back up that comment for educational purposes and spill some truth here. This will piss off every Yankee fan who wakes up to back pain and is on like cholesterol medication. George Steinbrenner was dedicated to winning. He was terrible at getting there, and I'll explain why. The Yankees built their dynasty core essentially while he was banned from baseball. Uh-huh. Yeah. While he was banned from baseball, the second time, not the first time, the second time.
Right.
The two time.
While he was banned, Gene Michael was building up the farm system. That's when we got Jeter, around the time we traded for O'Neill, around the time we signed, we drafted Pettit, around the time we found Bernie and Mo and all those guys. Like, Gene Michael got some credit, but not enough. Because he's the one that pretty much built up that team. Then you had Watson as a GM, Cashman as the assistant. And then when Watson left, that's when Cashman was holding the reins. More or less, the Yankees' success has been built on who was listening to George and whether they had the authority to go over his head and make moves. I forgot what the guy's name was. He wanted to trade Jeter for a shortstop, I think. And then Gene Michael's like, if you trade this guy, I'll quit. So he didn't. Then yep. In the spring, Tony Fernandez broke his wrist and the rest is history.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's always been about who's running the show there. For a while, like when we had that lapse of time, like 96, 98, 99, 2000, then we made the World Series 01, 03. Then we started getting like all these dudes past their prime. We were trading prospects for watch guys to sell tickets. And then towards the end, when he was getting older, he gave up power. Cashman held the reins for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
We won again in 09 because he passed away like, I think that winter or earlier, like the spring after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Hank and Hal took over. And then once again, what did the Yankees do between 2010 and 2015, 2016? We missed the playoffs a couple of times. We were kind of like there, but not really. We were getting waxed in the playoffs.
Competitive, but then, yeah.
Yeah, then we rebuilt the farm again. When we had Judge, Severino, Sanchez, Bird, it didn't end up into any rings. But if we had George alive during that time, we would have traded Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez for Craig fucking Kimbrel. Sorry.
Oh, you're good. No, you're good. We're allowed a couple swear words on this thing before
it's not a Christian Minecraft server, just letting you know.
It is not. Right. We're allowed a couple swear words before I got to put
sorry for cussing. On.
So it's all good. No, it's fine. It's no harm feeling, man.
No, we would have traded Aaron Judge for Craig Kimbrel. Just think about that.
And a bag of chips. Yeah.
Like they wanted all those dudes for Craig Kimbrel. And the Padres were like, let's go. We'll trade everyone and their mother. We don't care.
Yeah.
I think that was true. We're going off on a tangent here, but I think that Tatis trade for James Shields was like only if you trade away every prospect you ever have after that. And that's what they've been doing ever since. But yeah, I think the Yankees won in spite of George. I understand he was a passionate guy, a winner. Like, if Cashman had run the team and Gene Michael had ran the team, but then you still let George Steinbrenner run in and throw shit all over the place when they get swept, that would be a fantastic deal. That's what he would do when they would lose. Steinbrenner would go in, kick his stuff, throw stuff. He'd be pointing at you. He's like, yo, you went 0-4. He's like, I'm about to send you. He's like, I'll send you to AA right now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, sure, that's good fire to have, but not so much when you're handling the front office.
Yeah.
So what you're trying to say is George wouldn't have gone after Cease or Snell.
Just give me someone who's 34 years old that won. You know what? Here's a good one. He would have given Scherzer $50 million last year.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
He would have gotten Verlander for $50 million last year.
You're 38. You had a great career. Here's like $50 million. Yeah,
that's true. So
they're good, but he would have paid them way more just to say, hey, screw the Mets, screw these guys, whoever. Like,
right. So you think without Cole,
we would have traded Dominguez for Luis Castillo, maybe, but that's about it.
So who do you think fills the ace role? While Cole is trying to figure out his elbow?
That's a good question. I mean, it's just a matter of who steps up between Cortez, Stroman, and Rodon. You don't know what you're going to get from Carlos Rodon this year. The guy was a beast the 3-4 years before he came to the Yankees. And before he even pitched for the Yankees, He finds out he has a chronic back injury along with the forearm injury, right?
Yeah.
So he's coming into the year last year later than he expected. And you're expecting him to pitch top notch when he's got a chronic back injury? I don't think so. I didn't expect anything from him last year, just learning how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And everybody has these expectations that he's going to be, you know, top three for the Cy Young. And no, it's not going to happen last year. It did not. This year, we'll see how he throws. It looks like his velocity has been good. The liveness on the ball, it looks good on his heater. So we will see. It's really a wild card. I don't know. Stroman, we'll see how he does. He's pitched in New York, but apparently doesn't want to pitch for opening day. I don't know the whole story behind that. But Cortez also come back from an injury. Who knows? It's a matter of who steps up.
Have they named their opening day starter?
I don't believe so. I think it's Nestor. A mystery. Is it Nestor?
It's Nestor.
Okay, good.
He was the closest to being lined up. And that's the thing. People get mad that Stroman said no, when in reality they said, hey, do you want to adjust your schedule to be ready for opening day? How many times have we seen the Yankee pitcher hit the injured list in the last couple of years? Do you want to see someone change? Not to mention, he's not the ace, but this is the guy they're paying to put up innings. They want him going five or six innings every single time to save the bullpen. Cole's out for 2 months. You need someone to eat innings? I'm not telling the guy who's being paid to eat the innings to move his schedule.
Right.
Plus, agreed. He's lined up for the home opener. He was like, what's wrong with being the home opening starter? He goes, why not find someone who's more along the line? Like, you don't win the World Series on opening day. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go all the way, but the first game is important. Yeah, you put your best guy out there. But if he's hurt, you don't just move everyone up a day and throw off their schedule this close to the start of the year.
Yeah.
If this happened in February, it has no bearing. You can pick whoever you want, whenever you want. But right. This has been set up weeks in advance. They go from throwing one inning to two innings to four innings to five innings. They're stretching out the pitch counts. You can't just plug someone in.
I mean, realistic out of this whole Yankee staff is just the starting pitching. That really is the question mark. I feel like
agreed.
Bullpen is fucking amazing. Second best bullpen in the Major League Baseball.
Well, that's what happens when you subscribe to Micro TV. You get elite bullpen help like Tom.
Well, actually, I think the bullpen is not going to be as good this year. I'm worried, actually. I know they do pull guys out, but
I feel like they'll still be the second best bullpen in the Major League Baseball.
I mean, I don't think they're going to be bad. That's my question. I just don't think they're going to be top two or three. They might be slightly under, but I think Clay Holmes, you don't know exactly what you're going to get from him.
I think we know what we're going to get from Clay Holmes. It's going to be good innings, and it's going to be a good guy pitching back there. Like I honestly think he's built to be a closer, because he's cool, calm, and collected. That's what you want your closer to be.
He's a big old Alabama boy.
Yeah, he's gonna he doesn't have a care in the world. Jeez, he's from Alabama. He doesn't have a care in the world. Like, come on. as long as his cousins aren't dating, he's fine.
I think the bullpen's going to be fine. It really depends on who doesn't fill in Cole's spot, because they have Clayton Beter, they got Will Warren, and you got Luis Gil, who last year this was an issue when we had no rotation help because all of the prospects were further away. Like you had,
we
had Volpe who had just made the roster. You had Dominguez who was a step away. You had guys closer to the cusp on the offensive side. Now we're getting the arms on the pitching side that are closer.
Yeah. What about Chase Hampton? As a guy that has Chase Hampton currently on one of his fantasy teams, does he pitch at some point this year?
Yes. I think Hampton has a chance.
I think so.
The guy I want to fill in that spot is Luis Gil. He's been dirty. He's been striking out everyone and their mother. He has a great changeup. He's got velo. He's like a younger, pissed-off version of Severino when he's on the mound. I think he's going to be really good. But coming back from TJ, there's going to be an innings limit. So I don't think he makes the rotation out of opening day, or they're going to be like you burning all the options, having them pitch here and there.
Right.
Because usually in like April or May is when you have like that 15 games and 15 days stretch and they're taxing guys back and forth. He might be one of those guys, but I think Hampton or Warren, they're more likely to be one of those guys.
All right. Yeah. I mean, because their lineup is like Austin Wells, Jose Trevino, Rizzo, Torres, DJ LeMahieu, Peraza, Cabrera, Volpe, Soto, Grisham, Judge, Verdugo, Stanton. Like, I know I named off way more than nine guys, but like that I mean, that's a dangerous lineup. Those guys can stroke. They can smoke the ball everywhere.
Absolutely.
And you know,
we have lefties.
Right. You have lefties for the short porch.
We have lefties. Like it's nice to have that balance. Like years ago, we had, I think it was 18 or 19, maybe both years, maybe even 2020. We had like Aaron Hicks.
Right. We had like Aaron Hicks at lefty. That's it.
And like Gregorius. Didi. But everyone else was righty. Like, but back then, Glaber was hitting righties better than lefties. Judge was hitting righties better than lefties. Mm-hmm. Sanchez was hitting righties better than lefties. But it still wasn't getting teams to burn their bullpen. They were hitting those righties, but those guys weren't getting taken out of the game. They weren't burning through the pen in a deep series, which also matters in a playoff series when you need to get these guys out of the game. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, now we have a lefty coming up. Now we got to go to lefty out of the pen. So now you have more variety in the lineup. Part of the recipe of success when they won 99 games the year before, you had Judge, Carpenter, and I forgot who else. They were top. I think we had three of the top 12 hitters in pitches taken. Joey Gallo. Even though Gallo was struggling immensely, he was burning the pitch counts.
Right.
They had seen the most pitches in baseball by a large margin. Their on-base percentage was through the roof. Eventually, you got to wear them down. Yeah. So Carpenter got hurt. Now he's gone. Gallo, we traded him. So you really only had Judge working the count. I love Glaber. He's a top 10 second baseman. But the way you would see Judge walk out of four pitches and then he fucking hacks and rolls over the first pitch you throw at him out of the zone, that was kind of an issue for the team. They were heading into a lot of double plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
people complain about strikeouts. Strikeouts are worth one out. Double plays are worth two.
Right.
That's true.
So,
yeah,
it's really just a matter of now you have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge working the count. If DJ is healthy, he can be okay. He was good down the stretch, but he had the toe injury. Like, it's just health. Last year could have not gone worse. Look at the entire lineup. Trevino had an injury in the spring. He played through for like a third of the year, half of the year, and then he was out for the rest of the year to get it fixed. Can't get worse than that. Rizzo was one of the better hitters in baseball. He was like a top five first baseman when he got that freak concussion injury. Didn't get it diagnosed for 2 months. Can't get worse than that. Yeah. DJ's injuries. He was really bad before that. Can't get worse than that. Josh Donaldson. You can't get worse than that.
Volpe was retired. A rookie. That's right.
Volpe was a rookie. He should be at least the same, if not a little better. I highly doubt he regresses offensively from last year. We had Jake Bowers leading off at one point. We had Jake Bowers carrying the offense. Billy McKinney. Now we have Juan Soto.
Yeah.
You know? And even having Dominguez half the year is better than having him for eight games last year when he comes back from health. That's a plus. Verdugo's better than what we were doing last year with Harrison Bader.
Right.
Agreed.
And then Aaron Judge. The lineup is immensely better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of going back to what Mike was saying before. Now you have a balance of lefty righties. You now also have a deeper lineup. Last year we had no names coming into the lineup every day and leaving. You know, Bowers and McKinney, like he was saying. Now you got Soto as an addition. The guy gets on base more than anybody else on the team. He's going to be driven in by Judge. And that's going to help also in the playoffs. Because if you just have a bunch of righties and you keep throwing right-handers with sliders, and Judge is going to have trouble with that. Now you got Soto batting in front of him. That's going to help out big time.
Yeah, Soto in front and Rizzo behind.
Exactly. And, you know, Rizzo's a veteran. He knows how to play the game. He checks off all the boxes. If he can – he's not going to be as bad as last year either. Like, he started off hot, ran a Tatis concussion, like Mike said.
Yeah.
And it can't get worse. We had so many injuries. And I will say this. This is why I was talking about the bullpen. Michael King is not with the team. He was a huge piece of that team last year when we struggled. Fair. We would have been way worse. We also don't have Wandy. He's gone. That's a lefty and a righty that were big pieces.
Yeah.
But I also don't expect Ian Hamilton to do the same he did last year. That's also a big piece.
I know. You got to have faith in the Matt Blake cheating lab.
Yeah. But like I said, I still think they're going to be a strong bullpen, but I am more concerned about starting pitching with Cole being out.
Yeah. And like I said, that's the question mark I have for this team.
Yeah.
And the second best starter in all of baseball to me is Marcus Stroman. So. I love Stro. I've always loved Stro.
I know you do.
I love Stro so much. Oh, man. I got a man crush for him. Me and Stro. Oh, my gosh.
There's love in the air.
There is love in the air, boys, with me and Marcus Stroman. Like, I feel like, here's the deal. There's so many ex-Cubs on this team. I'm going to have to get me some Yankees jerseys going on here, and I'm going to have to start in supporting the Yankees, for crying out loud. I mean, I got to order me a Rizzo one still. I've been trying to do that for the last 3 years and haven't got that done yet. Now it's Juan Soto. I love freaking Soto. Now it's Stroman. Like, come on.
So, yeah, they were so bad last year. They kind of lost the Empire name and let the Dodgers take it.
Yeah.
And now they're getting likable players. And
I really do like that's the thing is, like, here's the deal. I've always – so, again, you guys both know everybody knows I'm a huge Cubs fan, right? My grandpa was a Yankees fan for the longest time, and we'd be Yankees fans if WGN didn't happen, okay? Because then my grandpa's able to watch Cubs games every afternoon before he went to work. So that's how we became Cubs fans. So I've always had a soft spot for the Yankees being like my second team. As much as I try to get like every other team to be my second team, I always go back to the Yankees though. And it's just because they have they have likable players over the years. It's a well-run organization for the most part. They were the first ones to make their own network, which then pissed off Steinbrenner as well, because then he had to give that money, the Yes Network money, to freaking Polat up here in Minnesota, who's not doing anything. And he's like, whoa, 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 why am I doing all this? Like, and then this guy's just pocketing the money. Like, I'm just paying him to be an owner of the game right now, like, of a team. He's like, this isn't right. Like, Steinbrenner did so much. And you're right. He would go out and buy old players that were has-beens or almost out of their career. And Cashman had, I think Cashman gets too much blame for when they do have a bad season and not enough respect for when they have really good years.
I agree with that 110%.
Because they just expect him to win 100 games every year, no matter what.
And the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, because think of it this way. Look at all of last year. Fire Boone, fire Cashman. We picked up Juan Soto. It is crickets on Twitter.
Right.
It is crickets. We are now World Series bound. We have that again. We have that expectation after just winning, 82 games, 84 games last year?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, we're so back.
Expectation. But now we're so back because we picked up Soto, you know, and without even the other acquisitions, people are saying, just with Soto, we're going to win the World Series. And I think we're going to be good. I think with the balance in the lineup, it's going to be a big change. Filling that catcher spot with Austin Wells and Trevino. Wells is being a lefty is also going to help. He's going to be a good offensive hitter, I think, as a catcher. And I think it's going to be good.
Right. All right. Well, so I project them getting 99 – being the best team in the AL. How about you guys?
Mike?
I'll be a little more bullish. I'll say 95.
I got them at 94. I think there's some improvement they need. I just don't think you can hand them 95 to 100 wins. I think they're going to be good. Still a tough division. And like I said, missing a couple big pieces like King and Wandy and Cole's going to be out. I think it's going to be a little tougher than people think. But 94 is where I sit them at just because that offense is loaded.
So, yeah. So, I mean, we have the top four teams basically all within 10 games of each other. Between the Orioles, the Rays, the Blue Jays, and the Yankees, they're all – now, do they get four teams in the playoffs? Four out of the seven spots?
I don't think so.
I don't think the Rays make the postseason. I have Blue Jays, Yankees, Orioles.
Okay. So they get three out of the seven, which is still mind-blowing.
Still amazing. Three is a realistic possibility.
Four would just put the division over the top.
Especially when teams are pocketing all the competitive balance tax money. So
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it, boys. The AL East. I appreciate Sal and Mike for coming on the show. Really, really, really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to come hop on this and talk some baseball with me. It's been fun. We'll have to do this again sometime, maybe mid-season. Have a little AL East progress report episode.
I would love that.
See where we're at. That'd be fun.
Definitely.
As always, this is One Guy with a Mic, Dingers and Dunks. If you're not following the channel, go ahead and hit that follow button. Make sure to ring that bell so that way your notifications get turned on. As you can find out, you can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, for wherever you're listening leads. Follow me on Twitter. Sal's is Super Sal on Twitter. Mike is Mike Dro TV on Twitter. Follow them both on Twitch as well. They do stream video games and play baseball like champs. They are worlds. One of them is a World Series winner, by the way. So,
both of us.
Oh, both of you. Okay, they're both World Series winners. When did you win the World Series?
In your eyes,
I went to a World Series. World Series the two times I went for it.
Two time. Oh my gosh! All right, they're both World Series champs, boys and girls. As always, the episode is with shankitgolf.com, where you can go get your golf polos, your golf bags, and any other golf accessories you need. Use the code one guy in the checkout promo. So you guys all have a great day. Appreciate everybody stopping by and listening to us. And I am out.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the football history dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.